My dad couldn't be here this evening to bring the lesson, so I'll be bringing it to you. I do enjoy the opportunity to bring the word again tonight. And today I'll be talking about a very interesting topic, which will be an eye for an eye, otherwise known as vengeance. So I'll start off by saying that this common saying is not something that you should be following. Please turn to Leviticus 24, starting in verses 19 through 20, where we first see this common phrase used. And if a man cause a blemish in his neighbor, as he hath done, so shall it be done to him. Breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. As he hath caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done to him again. So this was stated in the Old Testament, when these type of things God would allow. God, of course, he did not like these things, but he would allow them to happen. But not anymore. Let's look at another example of this. In Exodus 21 in verses 23 and 25. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. So it says here that anything done to you can be returned upon that person. This again was allowed in the Old Testament. However, it is not allowed anymore. We are not allowed to harm our brethren, even if they do something evil to us first. There are many verses that most of you guys probably know that state this case. And please turn to Romans 12:21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Here are instructions that God gives to us. Not to let evil overcome us, but to overcome it with good. Do you think that involves doing something evil against someone who wronged us? I don't think so. Another scripture that talks about this is 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5 and verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Stated here is basically the same thing. If someone does something evil to us, we cannot return it. Do what's good unto them and everyone. However, this can be very hard, especially if we do not particularly care for this person. The world tells us to do evil for evil and to take an eye for an eye. However, God does not. We must stay righteous no matter what. And plenty of people sway from this word, however, as we can see in most of the things happening today. So we're going to look at some examples of people in the Bible who believed in vengeance and took it. Joab is a prime example of someone who took an eye for an eye. Please turn to 2 Samuel 18, starting in verse 2. And David sent forth a third part of the people under the hand of Joab, and a third part under the hand of Abishai the son of Zerah, Joab's brother, and the third part under the hand of Ittai the Gittite. And the king said unto the people, I will surely go forth with you myself also. But the people answered, Thou shalt not go forth, for if we flee away, they will not care for us. Neither if half of us die will they care for us. But thou art worth 10,000 of us. Therefore now it is better than thou secure us out of the city. And the king commanded, and the king said to them, What seemeth you best I will do. The king stood by the gate side, and all the people came out hundreds and by thousands. And the king commanded Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, Deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave all the captains charge concerning Absalom. So the people went out into the field against Israel, and the battle was in the wood of Ephraim, where the people of Israel were slain before the servants of David. And there was there a great slaughter the day of 20,000 men. For the battle was there scattered over the face of all the country. The wood devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. And Absalom met the servants of David. And Absalom rode upon a mule. And the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak. And he was taken up between the heaven and the earth. And the mule that was under him went away. And a certain man saw it, and told Joab, and said, Behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak. And Joab said unto the man that told him, And behold, thou sawest him? And why didst thou not smite him there to the ground? And I would have given thee 10 shekels of silver in a girdle. And the man said to Joab, Though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in mine hand, Yet would I not put forth mine hand against the king's son? For not hearing the king charge thee, and Abishai and Ittai, saying, beware that none touch the young man Absalom. Otherwise I should have wrought falsehood against mine own life. For there is no matter hid from the king, and thou wouldest have set thyself against me. Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took 3 darts in his hand, and thrust them through the heart of Absalom, while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. And 10 young men that bare Joab's armor compassed about and smote Absalom, and slew him. So, most of you guys heard of Joab, and he was a young man, he was one of the captains of David's army, but he was a very, very wicked man. And he killed many other people before, and killed plenty after this incident. Here he's doing evil for evil. Absalom was not a good person, he was very evil also, and he did evil against David, killed some of his children, his brothers and sisters, and even attacked the holy city, trying to steal the throne. But David, a righteous man, wanted to spare him to do good for evil. But Joab, however, killed him for the evil he did to David. Joab took Absalom's life in his hands. And we should never try to be like Joab, taking people's lives in our hands because we want to have vengeance upon them. This incident alone should show you that having an eye for an eye is not a saying that you should want to follow. But sadly, this happened many times after and before this in Scripture, even with otherwise righteous people. Please turn to John 18, starting in verse 5. They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he, and therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. That the saying might be fulfilled, which he spoke, of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. And Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Peter was one of Jesus' disciples, and he was a very righteous young man. Of course, we all know that Peter would say or do a lot of foolish things sometimes, and Jesus would rebuke him. This is one of these cases. However, he was still a very righteous man, but this is a clear example of somebody taking an eye for an eye. Peter loved Jesus and did not want him to be crucified, but he didn't fully understand that this was something that had to happen. Jesus again rebuked him. The situation shows that even righteous people, no matter how righteous we can be, can fall to temptation and want to do evil for evil. This has also happened with Moses, who was another righteous man. Please turn to Exodus 2 and verse 11. And it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there were no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. So we all know that the Egyptians in general were evil people. And that God did kill many of them on the Israelites' way out of Egypt. However, God did not like killing, even back then. He did command them to kill certain evil individuals and certain peoples, like Amalekites and Canaanites. And Moses was not commanded to kill this Egyptian by God. It says nothing about that. And he could have also just separated the Egyptian or Hebrew, or done something else effective and nonviolent. There are plenty of examples in the Bible of these incidences, but also ones people brought vengeance on people who they didn't need to. People who did righteous things, but the person that killed or persecuted them was jealous or angry of them, and decided that they needed to take vengeance on them, although they had done nothing wrong. Let's look at a few of those incidences. Please turn to Genesis 4, starting at verse 3. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? Thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lies at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Of course, we know that Abel did absolutely nothing wrong. And Cain probably knew this too. Abel was actually the one who did the right thing, and he did suffer for it. He was persecuted and actually killed for following God's commandments. And Cain here was in the wrong for not having the right sacrifice, and second, killing his brother for what he would have called vengeance. He should have let God take vengeance against Abel if he truly believed his brother was in the wrong, which he wasn't. Cain decided to take an eye for an eye, but ended up just killing an innocent man. The last example we'll look at of these type of incidences is in 1 Kings 21, starting at verse 14. Verse 1, excuse me. These are kind of wrong. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I'll give thee it for a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed, and turned away his face, and would eat no bread. But Jezebel his wife came to him, and said unto him, Why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto him, Because I spoke unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money. Or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel his wife said to him, Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise, and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, and sealed them with a seal, and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city, dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letter, saying, Proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, son of Belial, before him, to bear witness against him, saying, Thou didst blaspheme God and the king. And they carry him out and stone him, that he may die. And the men of the city, even the elders and the nobles, who were inhabitants in the city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent to them. They proclaimed a fast, and set Naboth high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and set before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme the God and the king. And they carried him out forth out of the city, and stoned him with stones, and that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. This is another example of wrongdoing to an innocent man. Naboth was a righteous man, only doing what God said, and much like Abel, was killed for what was believed as vengeance. Once again, Ahab and Jezebel should have waited for judgment from God if they truly believed Naboth was in the wrong, which of course we know he was not. There are plenty more examples of these things, like when Joab burned Absalom's crops, or when Jonah got angry at the Ninevites for repenting and not being destroyed. But we don't have enough time this evening, to look at these. So we have seen many examples of vengeance, and people that really want an eye for an eye for what they've been through. However, you must not lose sight of the fact that this is very against God. Please turn to Romans 12, and verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. It says here that God says to avenge not yourself. Isn't that what the world all about is? Avenging yourself? All the movies, TV shows, and books, and other things that we're influenced by, are about getting vengeance on your enemies. Like if somebody spills lunch on you when you're at school, and you want to spill lunch on them. That type of mindset. Here God says not to avenge yourselves, and says that vengeance is His. He will control what needs to happen, and He will repay anything that needs to be repaid. If someone does something in any form to hurt us, don't bother to get them back. if God deals that they need to be repaid, God will repay for us. They might get a punishment the next day, 3 years later, or who knows. But God will repay. Please turn to Hebrews 10, Hebrews 10, starting in verse 30. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. Again the Lord states that vengeance is his. He shall bring judgment upon his people, not us. An example, when Ahab killed Naboth, he should have let God take judgment upon Naboth, which obviously wouldn't have been anything bad happened to Naboth, as Naboth was a righteous man. There is no need for any of our vengeance. To close tonight, please turn to Matthew 5, and starting in verse 38. You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. God says here that we should do good to ones that hurt us. If somebody were to slap you in the cheek, you turn the other. Someone steals your jacket, you should let them have your cloak, too, for if for some reason you're wearing a cloak. There is no need for vengeance. They said back then, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But vengeance is God's, and there should never be a time where we are doing evil for evil. Overcome evil with good, and the saying, an eye for an eye, will be gone from our heads.